This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. Later in the show, a look at how mobile devices and social media have changed the way businesses operate and interact with their customers. First up this afternoon, the University of Cincinnati recently held Social Media Week to provide opportunities and share ideas on the most effective methods of using Twitter, Facebook, and other social media. Joining us to explore how technology is changing the ways we connect with each other are Dr. Nancy Jennings, McMicken College of Arts and Sciences Department of Communication Undergraduate Director and Director of the University of Cincinnati Children's Education and Entertainment Research Lab, Jeremy Martin, UC's Director of Digital Communications, and Dr. Jeffrey Blevins, Head of UC's Journalism Department and McMicken College of Arts and Sciences Associate Professor. And Nancy, Jeff, and Jeremy, thank you for being here this afternoon.
Thanks for having us.
You can join our conversation, 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. And Jeremy, let's start off by talking about UC's taking part in Social Media Week, which was last week, right?
Correct.
This is a global event. Where did the idea for taking part in Social Media Week come from? Why did UC decide to get involved in it?
Yeah, well, it actually started with one of our students who's an arts and sciences student, Elena Frew. She entered into a competition last year, UC Invents, which is a competition that happens every year. It's kind of like a Shark Tank type of event. You pitch an idea to a panel of judges, and they pick winners and provide funding for those specific initiatives. And so she works as an undergraduate student in our office, in our governmental relations and university communications office. And she and I were talking about it, and she came to me and said, I'm thinking about pitching this idea. What do you think? And I said, that's great. And the initial idea was really around a workshop, to do a workshop, a single workshop for faculty, staff, students on the good and the bad of social media, what resources are available, what things you can accomplish with it, what to stay away from, that kind of thing. And as we talked about it, we started maybe thinking a little bigger and how can we, how can we really blow this up and make a week out of it, make a real experience out of it. And that's when we found the Global Social Media Week event, which takes place in just major cities all over the world. I believe this year they were in Jakarta, New York. They've been in L.A., Germany, I want to say Frankfurt maybe. So major cities, not that Cincinnati isn't a major city, but we haven't hosted something like this here in Cincinnati. So we really were looking to find a way to scale that to the university community. And bring in folks from outside to talk about social media, provide some experiences for our students, mainly on how they could use social media, what the benefits were, and that's really how it all started.
Now, I take it that since UC President Santa Ono is such a big user of social media himself, that he felt that this was an important thing to do.
He was supportive, absolutely. We worked alongside the president's office. We worked with the provost. We worked through our academic affairs folks, our student affairs side of the house. Everybody was really supportive of the idea. Being the first time we ever did it, I think there were a lot more folks who will be more supportive as we move down the road. I got a lot of good feedback from some folks that might be sitting right by me here that said we'd love to be more involved in the future. So the president certainly is engaged on social media and someone that is looked at as a leader in that field. So it definitely went together for us.
Jeff, how valuable do you think this whole event was?
I think it was great in raising awareness about some of the rewards of social media, but also some of the risks. Too oftentimes, those are the things that we don't talk about. That, for instance, your digital trail lasts forever, and things that you may tweet or post in haste may come back to haunt you.
Most certainly. And Nancy, what do you see was the value in this whole event?
I definitely would agree that bringing the notion of media and digital literacy is critical for all of our students and for our community at large. It's really important to think about the implications of your uses of social media, both in terms of your personal reputation as well as the reputation of others that you might be representing, whether it be your a student organization or a larger community organization or the university itself. So,
Nancy, one of the topics was that I like the title of this was Who Gives a Tweet? Maybe everybody, if you all want to weigh in on this, that's fine. Should people give a tweet about social media, and why should they give a tweet about social media?
yes, I would say it is important to give a tweet about it because it is such a vital way of communication, both for personal communication as well as professional communication, making connections with folks that you might not otherwise already know. So, but again, you know, exercising caution. You don't want to tweet something that is going to be inappropriate, or even just spelling errors too can ruin your reputation and cause problems. So.
Jeremy, why should I give a tweet?
Well, I think it's been pretty well documented that just about every organization professionally now has seen the value in social media. Businesses, we actually had a panelist on Thursday in our business panel from Jenny's Ice Cream, which is in Columbus. And she was telling the story of how Jenny's really got its start through social media. And now it's a major corporation with, you know, multiple locations and all this stuff. And social media really led that. They were a small one shop inside of not a farmer's market, but like a Findlay market, community market type of thing. And now they have multiple locations due to demand that was seen through social media. So it really has real world implications. And for us, we looked at our student population first. That was our main goal. And we wanted to make sure that our students, who are absolutely digital natives, and they share everything, maybe too much sometimes, via social media and on those networks. And when we want to communicate, we need to be where those students are, and that's where they are. So I think it is vitally important.
And that reminds me, I'll rat out my kids. They had I remember MySpace was the thing, and both my sons had MySpace sites, and my wife and I would go on and look and say, wow, we never knew this about our kids. Jeff, do you give a tweet about the whole social media thing?
Oh, absolutely. Having an effective social media presence, I would say, is a prerequisite for every person in the 21st century job market. And it's one of the things, it's not just parents, for instance, that are going to go look up their children's social media presence. Prospective employers are going to do that. And not necessarily just to dig up the dirt, but they want to know, what kind of influence do you have? Are you an expert in a particular area? Do you have demonstrated skills in a particular area? Who's following you? What kind of influence do you have?
Yeah, so I guess a general rule of thumb, Jeff, might be, don't put anything out there that you don't want your parents to see, your mom and dad to see, maybe.
It'll last forever.
Yeah, I think that's the thing that people don't quite understand. You're right. It is literally a trail that does last forever, doesn't it?
Right.
Now, another topic, we're talking about finding employment, and that was becoming a person of interest. That dealt with social networking to find a job. So just how beneficial are social media when it comes to finding employment? Nancy?
We do know that social media is a fantastic way to try to find different employers, employment as well, because it's a lot about social networking, and it's about weak ties and strong ties. So we've always told our students, and we've always told others, that knowing your social network is important, and you never know when a weak tie, so somebody who you may have an acquaintance with, or somebody who's a friend of a friend, may have a job opening, and you can definitely then share that information through social media, posting your qualifications, posting that you're even looking for a job can be helpful for your network of friends to share that with others.
Jeff, so social media can be a great tool for someone who's seeking a job. As we've been talking, though, it can be a big detriment. Right. If you're not careful about the image that you're portraying of yourself or the things that you're putting out there on social media. And this goes along with another one of the topics that you had for Social Media Week, which was mind your snaps and tweets, social media etiquette. Is the etiquette side something that's easy to lose in the instantaneous nature of social media?
Yeah, because social media blends oftentimes the personal and professional. Some folks are very good about having separate accounts, for instance, separate Twitter accounts or separate, Facebook accounts, one for their professional life, one for personal. But those things still blend way too easily. And what you post in one venue is certainly going to transcend. It's going to transcend the other, and you know, employers are going to be they're going to look very carefully at that. You know, do you have a constant update on your party life and your social activity? Would be one of the lesser cases.
So, Jeremy, we're talking about things not to do if you want to impress an employer, but isn't there a positive, proactive thing aside things you should do with social media to impress potential employers?
Yeah, absolutely. I think for every negative, there's a positive, right? So, posting things that you're interested in, really personalizing yourself in the digital space can help you going into an interview. Can help somebody. I know from a hiring position, I know I would look at, and I do look at, and have looked at social media. Profiles for folks that would be coming in to interview or are interested, have shown interest. In fact, Elena, who we talked about earlier, actually got her job in our division by sending a tweet. She sent a tweet saying, "I would love to work for either Arts and Sciences." We got her before Arts and Sciences did, or the university. And I reached back out, via the faceless Twitter handle of the university and said, give us a call. Here's a way to connect. She was somebody who posted a lot of positive things about the university. She's very active. And I'd never met her before. I knew that much about her just from her social profile. So,
And I'd like to add to that too. That's often what we talk about is your digital footprint. So where are you, and what venues are you using, and then how wide is that footprint? So who are your followers? So something you can think about is, what does that footprint look like? And so employers are going to be looking for that too. So just to say, I'm just not going to go on Twitter because I don't give a tweet, may not be in your best benefit, because then that indicates you don't have a footprint.
Jeff, who is doing who's doing most of the adapting? Who's doing the best at adapting? Is it the younger people or the older people who are doing better adapting to social media? Do we see a trend in how that's going?
I would say young people and mid-career professionals are doing the adapting. I would say the younger generation is leading, and mid-career professionals are adapting. What I find interesting, though, this was reported just recently on WCPO Digital, that 77% of employers provide absolutely no digital media training, no social media training to their employees, yet it is an expectation. Yeah. It is a way that we, screen job candidates informally, the way that we learn about each other. And this is where I think higher education has a role to play and why events like Social Media Week are really important.
We will continue our conversation after the break, and you can join us by calling 513-419-7100. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. We're talking about how technology is changing the way we connect and communicate with each other. My guests are Nancy Jennings, McMicken College of Arts and Sciences Department of Communication Undergraduate Director and Director of the University of Cincinnati Children's Education and Entertainment Research Lab, Jeremy Martin, UC's Director of Digital Communications, and Dr. Jeffrey Blevins, Head of UC's Journalism Department and McMicken College of Arts and Sciences Associate Professor. Jeff, the social media have had a profound effect on the 24-hour news cycle. What are some of the things that have occurred because of this and things that people should keep in mind because of these changes?
Well, certainly there's been a lot of conflicts, or I should say a lot of pressure to be first, and that doesn't always gel with accuracy. And we've had some cases where journalists have tried to use social media to crowdsource the accuracy of a particular report, and that's something that they've had to be more cognizant of. Some of the more positive aspects, though, of social media is it's allowed journalists to brand themselves and to engage in more of a conversation with the news audience, that it's not just a one-way flow of news anymore, but rather it's a conversation between the journalist and the audience.
So what things should people who are trying to generate news and those consuming news be aware of when it comes to the social media?
Well, that not all sources on Twitter, for instance, are created equally. They're not all accurate, but there are ways in which to verify through traditional source relationships. Oh, I know that this is so and so's account. This is the official account of the mayor or the mayor of Cincinnati or whoever. So it's important to maintain those personal relationships as well as online relationships.
Overall, though, this has also had a positive effect because, as you're saying, it's made news more interpersonal, and it's also I would imagine it's opened up some avenues for news media. News gathering organizations that they didn't have before.
Absolutely. And it's one of the ways in which journalists are assessed. How many followers do you have? Are you an influencer? Are you the authority on this particular topic? One way to measure that is who follows you and who those people are.
You know, that's interesting, the word influence. Nancy, another one of the topics that you had during Social Media Week was influencing in 140 characters. Is that even possible? Sometimes I wonder.
Yes, I mean it's complicated, but it does make you a very smart and wise communicator, because if you only have 140 characters, you need to use those wisely, and so you need to be able to communicate your concept as quickly as possible. So, I would say there's definitely an influence that can be had with 140 characters.
Jeremy, how do you feel about that? 140 characters? I mean, my head spins when I think about that. It's like I can't say anything in less than 10 sentences usually.
Right.
So how effective is this?
I would agree with that. I have a lot of trouble keeping my thoughts articulated to a small amount of time as well. My wife tells me that pretty regularly. But I would echo Nancy's sentiment. I think if you can do that, if you can communicate in a small amount of time and get across the point that you're trying to make, it takes some skill. It takes some abilities to be able to take what you were going to say maybe in three or four sentences and find a way to fit it into a small snippet of communication and get your point across.
Wasn't it Mark Twain who said, I would have written less if I had more time?
There you
maybe
go.
He was our original tweeter.
And even if we think about just like incidents that have happened over the weekend with the dress and with the passing of Leonard Nimoy, those things exploded and information was passed very quickly through Twitter. So.
Right. And that's interesting because my son and I went to see an NBA game in Indianapolis over the weekend, and we were discussing the whole dress debate, and we got to the game, and on the scoreboard at halftime, one of the things that they flashed up there to entertain everybody were two pictures of the dress. Is it white and gold or is it blue and black? And I'm sitting there going, wow, it's amazing how fast things move thanks to the social media today. And like you're saying, there is influence in that.
Yeah. Well, things can go viral quite quickly, right. And you can lose control over a story. And coming back to the role of journalist and audience, audiences just for a minute, we really saw this play out in what happened in Ferguson, for instance. It wasn't just news media that was covering, leading this story, but rather it empowered people in the community to tell their own stories on social media, and that's a phenomenon that we've seen play out in several different cases.
Jeff, how successful do you feel Social Media Week was at UC?
Yeah, I think it was a success the first time we've done it. So we put some metrics together to really give ourselves a baseline, to move forward with. But we hosted over 30 events on our three campuses, main campus and then Blue Ash and Claremont. We had great attendance for the most part in almost all of those events. Maybe a couple were duds, but we expected that, right? But there were a lot of reasons for that too. We had the snow week right before that, so that slowed a lot of people down. We had some of that feedback from students, especially. I'm catching up on schoolwork. I have all this stuff that I have to do that I missed the week before. But overall, I think it was great. I got a lot of great feedback from students. We sent a survey out that we got some great responses to. The social media, I would hope that the social media response was good, right? And we had somewhere north of 1,500 tweets using the hashtag throughout the week, which was great. Instagram posts. So it was definitely a success from our aspect.
Do you have plans for building on this?
Yeah, I think we would love to host it again. We had some discussions with some folks around town to maybe expand it to different areas of town on different days. I think that would be cool. We had some discussions with the PRSA group in town, which is the Public Relations Society, and their young professionals group would be interested in maybe having some tweet ups in different areas throughout the city. So I think there's a lot of opportunity for us to make a real splash.
You had an interesting comment that I read about making sure that students, faculty, and staff are safe and smart with what they do. What are some of the ways to stay safe and smart in the vast world of social media?
That's the million-dollar question, I think, isn't it?
You think that's an ongoing thing?
Yeah, you know? Yeah. I mean, I think there's a lot of ways to do that. I think to Jeff's point about knowing who you're following, knowing that your sources, even though it might not be from a journalism standpoint, knowing who you're following, understanding where information is coming from, who you can trust, who you can't trust in the social realm, and certainly just being smart about what you're putting out there, not only from a job standpoint. Yeah, you want to present yourself positively for future employers or anybody that might look you up. You show up in a Google search on Twitter now. So, it's probably the third or fourth thing on Google if somebody puts your name in there. But also just from a safety standpoint, if you are someone who maybe walks home through any neighborhood at night and you tweet that regularly, at some point that could be dangerous to allow people to know where you are by yourself, at all times. So not to be alarmist about it, but that is something that you want to keep in mind, especially maybe a younger, high school age type of student who's walking around in certain neighborhoods that might be not a good idea. So, yeah. Safety is a way to social media is a way to stay safe as well.
Yeah, it empowers all of us to tell our own stories. It's a matter of what kind of story are you going to tell, and who is going to be listening, who's going to be watching that story.
Yeah, but Jeff, one of the goals of the week was to talk about the best ways to use social media, such as Facebook and Twitter. And so, we've talked about a number of the major topics. What were some of the other big takeaways from this event?
Well, I don't know if it's necessarily from the event, but certainly one of the things that came up in a lot of conversations that I noticed was that social media is not a private place at all. And that you have to think about who you're transmitting, that message to. We certainly provide a lot of information. I think Jeremy gave some great cases there of someone who may want to, harm us physically. We've also talked about the role of prospective employers, cataloging information about us, but law enforcement is as well. The information that we share on social media, even if we're just connected to our friends or our followers, it doesn't prevent someone from sharing that information with third parties. So it created a greater awareness of just how social media is.
So most people view this as it's a casual thing. It's fun, but does it pay to have a personal strategy to be a little bit more deliberate about how you use the social media?
Yeah. Take a breath before you post.
Nancy, what were some of the big takeaways from the event in your mind?
Well, to me, it meant a lot that we were engaging in this conversation about digital literacy. And we have launched the Digital Media Collaborative at UC's campus. And that's really an initiative across several different units, academic units, from e-media to journalism and communication, and also in DAP, to try to bring awareness and of digital education, increase digital education on the campus, find ways in which we can collaborate on different digital media projects. And it's becoming such a strong force in the field and in the community, in society. So I think that was another way to try to think about different ways in which digital media is part of several aspects of community life.
Jeremy, we were talking earlier about how there are no rules and there's no handbook for using the social media. So if somebody wants to learn how to use it effectively, I mean, how do they do that?
Well, our social media week would be a great way for
that's
them
a good
to,
start.
Right? From our division at the university, we try to provide resources for students, for faculty and staff as much as we can to give some best practices and guidelines on what you should and shouldn't do. I don't think we could cover it if we had 2,000 pages to do it. There's just so much out there and it changes so rapidly. But we are trying to stay on top of it as much as we can and provide those resources to, again, most notably our students, because I think that's what our mission, as an educational institution is to create students that can take a step off of our campus and into the real world and be prepared for everything that they're going to face in the job market and in life. So I think that's what we're trying to do. And Social Media Week is certainly part of that, but we do that every day.
Jeff, what's your advice for people who want to learn how to use the social media effectively?
Well, get some practice, but this is, again, where I think education has a role to play, that we need, a basic digital media literacy. And honestly, I don't even know if university is soon enough. I think it's a literacy as much as math is language, and we need to increase awareness about that for parents as well, to get involved in a conversation with their children. Don't just blow it off. Well, I'm not interested in that. Trust me, they are, and it's going to be integral to their lives and livelihood in the future.
Well, Nancy, Jeff, and Jeremy, thank you for talking with us this afternoon. Nancy Jennings, McMicken College of Arts and Sciences Department of Communication Undergraduate Director and Director of the University of Cincinnati Children's Education and Entertainment Research Lab, Jeremy Martin, UC's Director of Digital Communications, and Dr. Jeffrey Blevins, Head of UC's Journalism Department and McMicken College of Arts and Sciences Associate Professor.